If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasis, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program. We are with Sheikh Javid, as always, who sheds some lights on some of the jurisprudential laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But this time, as we have started a series of episodes on Khums. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Let me start this episode with this question, Sheikh. In order to evade a payment of khums
on their assets, a family, a husband and a wife, sometimes decide to give each other their annual income as gifts prior to the end of their homes year. Would you please explain to our audience the rule concerning their liability to homes?
Well, it is very much clear from the example you mentioned that the husband and wife are trying to evade payment of homes, as you also mentioned it. And of course, in this very scenario, these two people are not exempted from the obligatory homes because they are giving each other's income as gifts to each other. Now, that's not okay. That's a very, very, that can be very, that's very much readable and very much understandable from the fact that they are trying to avoid paying homes, and they are trying to evade paying homes. They are not serious about gifting money to each other. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. And of course, in this very scenario, homes should be paid by both parties, by both individuals, the husband and the wife.
I see.
Yes.
Okay. Well, a person deposited an amount of money with a Hajj travel agency in order to perform Mustahab Hajj, recommended Hajj. But unfortunately, he dies before he could visit the house of God. Shashawit, what's the ruling concerning this money? Is this money subject to homes, first of all? And then, is it obligatory for the heir to spend this money for the performance of Hajj on his behalf or her behalf?
Well, the value of the Hajj travel document obtained in exchange for the money deposited in the account of the Hajj agency is considered a part of his inheritance. And of course, we do know the rules regarding inheritance because inheritance is something to be received by the heirs. And inheritance is not liable for homes. There's no homes paid on inheritance, no matter what the amount, and no matter what it is. It could be in the form of cash, it could be in the form of, let's say, a house or something left by the deceased person. Now, generally speaking, homes is not paid on inheritance. So it's not obligatory to spend it on performing Hajj on his behalf. Of course, if Hajj was not obligatory on him, and or when he had not made a will in this regard. And of course, when it comes to khums, if its khums has not been paid, paying its khums is obligatory in the given case, because if that money was deposited and khums was not paid, according to His Eminence, the money which was stored, which was saved for paying homes since a year probably might have passed on it. Mm-hmm. According to His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, may he live long, paying the homes of that amount is obligatory in the very given scenario that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Now, if it is there as an inheritance, khums is not paid on inheritance, and that inheritance should be divided by among the heirs.
Mm-hmm, I see. Thank you very much, Shashawit. Let's take a short break, and we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, 'cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest, this speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to khums based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei with Sheikh Javid. Well, Sheikh Javid, an orchard or a garden was transferred to an individual's children, like a son, as a gift, or by way of inheritance, right?
Yes.
At that time, it was not of much value. It wasn't very much, like, pricey then. Mm. But its present market value is much greater than its previous one. Is the excess amount now subject to khums?
According to Ayatollah Khamenei, inheritance and gifts are not subject to khums, and nor the money earned from their sale, from the proceeds, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So khums is not paid on it either. Even if the value, the market value, increases, now maybe it might, sometimes it might increase manifold.
Yes.
So in that case, of course, the heirs are not supposed to pay khums, nor the recipient of the gift, okay, is not is supposed to give to pay khums on the increase,
right,
maybe on the market value increase. So of course, if that let's say inherited amount or inherited property is kept for trading purposes and for the increase in their value, then the situation is different. Because if that in building, let's say, a property is kept for business, okay, let's do business with this,
mm-hmm,
let's increase the amount, okay, the amount increase, the value increase, of course, that is a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, of course, the heirs should, as a measure of obligatory precaution, because this is a measure, it's not a fatwa, it's just a precaution, the heirs should pay khums on the appreciation and of course and selling after, you know, after it's sold to the people, after it's sold, you know.
So you mean if they consider this as an asset,
yes,
for doing business with it for a profit.
Profit,
then
yes.
The scenario changes.
The certain scenarios.
So it's not inheritance anymore, and then it's payable on khums.
Khums should be paid as a measure of obligatory precaution.
Precaution.
Because when it's precaution, it's precaution. It's not a fatwa.
Yes.
And of course, in such matters, we understand that in matters of precaution, we can refer to another mujtahid who may have a fatwa.
Yes. Sheikh Javid, another quick question that I may squeeze in fact, at the end of this episode. Someone says an insurance company owes me an amount in lieu of medical expenses, and I will receive it one of these days. Is it subject to khums?
Well, the amount paid for treatment and the like from one's income, and then, for example, it is returned by the insurance company,
mm-hmm,
are not ruled as new income. Rather,
right,
they return the very money of the person, you know, saved up with the insurance company.
Yes.
So if it's not spent on living expenses until the end of the khums year, it will be liable to khums. But if it is returned after the end of the khums year, it is khums must be paid immediately, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it is your money, it's saved with the insurance company, and once it's returned, or sometimes it's returned before the khums year, sometimes it's returned after the khums year. Now, if it is returned after the khums year, it's necessary that you take action to pay its khums immediately.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Thank you, my dear listeners, for choosing our channel, our IRIB English Radio, for the program Islamic Laws. And we bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun Malajah ilaha illahu Ghaffarun Jameelun Wahhabun. الظاهر والباطن لا إله